Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to our 11 a.m. worship service at West End. My name is Will, and it is my great joy to be a part of our clergy team. And I want to welcome all of you, whether you are a longtime member or a guest with us this day. If you are joining us here in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out the attendance pew, form in your pew, so that you can be a part of this community, and we can know that you're with us today. If you are new here and you're worshiping with us here in person, also indicate a way that we could get in touch with you, because we would love to connect you with the life of this church. For those who are worshiping online, please also track your attendance so that we can be common in our prayer and life with one another. There's two announcements I want to lift up for our flourishing and our shared life together. The first is that this morning in the 8:45 service, we had the privilege of praying over and commissioning our youth and adults who will be traveling next Saturday through the following Friday to Macon, Georgia, to partner in ministry and mission with Centenary UMC. And then we'll keep traveling to go to Daytona Beach for Youth 2023, which is thousands of youth from across the country coming together as the United Methodist Youth in celebration. So please be in prayer for them, and please be in prayer for those adults who are going alongside them. The other is that in 2 weeks, we will be continuing our practice of reading the Bible together with a large group gathering in McWhirter Hall. It's going to be from 5 to 7 on July 30th. We're having a potluck with the prophets. And so whether or not you are behind in your reading or ahead in your reading, or you haven't even started reading at all, we would love for you to come and to join us as we are invited into the prophetic imagination. Let us worship God in spirit and truth.
Thank you. the call to worship found in your bulletin. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless God's name.
Tell of God's salvation every day.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of living waters, we have hope that one day Ezekiel's vision of water and new life will come true. But we also know that we have a long way to go to get there. Forgive us for the ways we have harmed your creation. Forgive us for the ways we have harmed our neighbors. Forgive us for the ways we have rebelled against your love. Forgive us, O God, and help us forgive. Turn our hard hearts into hearts of flesh. May we be people of love, mercy, and justice. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those of us that are in the sanctuary, you can do that however feels most comfortable for you. And if you're watching or with us online, then you can send a text or send a peace in the chat. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Kara and Harrison Tucker bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
Accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has given to all peoples? Here in Harrison, we nurture Virginia in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we will.
We do.
We do.
And now, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Virginia in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in a way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water, and she who will receive it, to wash away her sin and to clothe her in righteousness throughout all her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she might share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God. With your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen. What name shall be given to this young lady? Virginia Douglas. Virginia Douglas, I baptize you in the name of God, the Creator, Christ, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, your advocate and guide throughout all your days. And now that we've prayed this prayer of baptism, I'm going to take you over to your parents, and we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to lay hands. Pastor Stacy's going to lay hands. Virginia Douglas, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of the days of your life. Amen. Sweet girl. Well, Virginia, I'm going to take you away from Mom and Dad for a second, if you'll let me, because I want to introduce to you your family in Christ. These are the people who are going to be your Sunday school teachers. They might be your basketball coaches if you choose to go that direction, your theater directors, whatever happens. This is your family in Christ. They're going to teach you a lot about what it is to follow Jesus and the school. You're going to teach them how to follow Christ. And together,
will the congregation please stand and face Virginia Douglas. It is now our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Virginia Douglas to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Virginia Douglas, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Join me in the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with the joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament, Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The river from the temple. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. Their water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for for the temple faced east, and the water was flowing down from below. The south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar, then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faced toward the east, and the water was coming from the south side. Going on eastward with cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. It was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water had been risen, it was deep enough to swim in a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the other bank a river of many great trees on the other side, and on the other, he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to the Arabi, and when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be many fish once the water reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the water, where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from Enjedi to Anglaim. It will be a place for spreading of nets. Its fish will be great, many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. There are to be left for salt on banks of both sides of the river. There will grow all kinds of trees for food. The leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water from them flowing from the sanctuary. The fruit will be for food and the leaving for healing." The word of God for the people of God.
I'm going to invite our children to come forward to be with me. I'm going to grab my prop for a children's moment, and let's see if I can have any children come to join me. Awesome. Great. Thank you for being here, friends. Yeah, come on up. All right, y'all, I've got a question for you. Do you know what this is?
A net.
It's a net. And do you know what you use a net for? To catch stuff. You could catch fish. You could catch maybe fruit that are falling from trees. It's honestly kind of big enough you could catch a kid. This net is really cool because it is also a wading staff. And so when you're walking in a river and the bottom of the river is a little shaky, you can walk and this can help you. We heard the prophet Ezekiel tell this story of this tiny trickle of water. You ever had like a tiny trickle of water come out of your water bottle or something like that? Yeah, every once in a while. You haven't? Maybe someday. You have. That's exactly right. So, just like your yellow water bottle goes splash when someone opens it, we heard the prophets. It was a what? It was a llama one. Crucial detail. It really is. So next time your llama image yellow water bottle spills over, you want to imagine what Ezekiel says, that he saw this temple and there was just this like tiny trickle of water spilling over. And he walked and the river got so big that he needed help. He needed a staff. And then it got so big he couldn't even swim across. It was a great big river. And this river was so full of life that even when it went to dry desert places, fruit popped up. And fish began swimming where there were no fish. What I want you to hear today is that Jesus takes this word of Ezekiel and he says that tiny trickle of water is not just something that spills out of our llama image yellow water bottle, but it's also the work of God's Spirit in our hearts. And in the simplest of ways and with the smallest of people, God can bring life to all people in all places at all times. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you great thanks for these children, for their questions, for their ponderings. We thank you, Lord, for the ways in which they guide us into the mystery of your grace and love. Bless them as they ponder your word, and might they continue to lead us in growing up into your Son, who is our Savior and guide and love, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite y'all to go to Children's Church, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, anybody who'd like to join. And I'll put the prop up unless the adults want me to continue using it. Well, friends, we have been reading through the Bible over the course of the last year at West End, and we've been doing so to celebrate how our 150-year history is understood within this great drama of Scripture, God's mighty acts of salvation. If you've been with us in July, these dog days of summer, we've been journeying through the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. So funny thing about Ezekiel, after you've gone through the long Isaiah and Jeremiah, you don't get a relief from Ezekiel. It's a long book too. But Ezekiel is this book that has long extended visions that the prophet is sharing with the people of Israel. And so it can be easy to get lost. And some of these images and illustrations are graphic and in some ways controversial. That's why in ancient Jewish tradition, I learned this week, a lot of times rabbis were told not to expose young children to the prophet Ezekiel. And not only that, but young rabbis and teachers were told not to teach on Ezekiel for fear of confusing people. So we figured it was the perfect prophet to have a child read and the new preacher preach. So that being said, let's go on this adventure together. And would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you are truly our rock, our redeemer, our constant and steady advocate. Amen. Imagine with me a moment when you felt so fully alive. A moment so teeming with joy, so enriched by friendship, so profound in gratitude, that you knew deep in your bones, this right here, this is life. If For me, it's actually convenient that the image of a river comes to mind. Last summer, our family was on sabbatical and we were traveling through Colorado, and we really built our whole trip around visiting for a night the quaint town of Buena Vista, which is in the Arkansas River Valley. We even went so far as to splurge on a hotel room with a side patio so that we could avoid hotel arrest. Anybody know what hotel arrest is? I'll explain it for you. It will come to mind. So hotel arrest is when you are traveling with young children, whether they be your own children, the children of your family members, or children of your friends. Hotel arrest is when you're traveling with young children and you put those children down at 6:45 or 7 o'clock at night. And then the rest of your vacation night is spent in pitch black darkness with sound machines roaring and you looking at your phone dreaming of all the things that you could do. That's what we call hotel arrest. And so we splurged to get a hotel room with a side patio so that once the children went down for bed, we could have a date night. Here's the problem. Kids didn't go to sleep. And so after countless efforts to direct their course towards sleep, we gave up and we said, let's go on a sunset stroll along the river. And what we saw was life. Trout rising to caddis flies in the ripples. Dogs paddling in plunge pools. Kayakers cutting through cataracts and currents. Young and old gathering together, making music, celebrating this space and the connection of the river. And it was so beautiful. And it filled me with this profound gratitude that this same river that oriented the first 18 years of my life growing up in Little Rock, Arkansas, could bring such connection and joy 1,200 miles upstream and a few chapters of my life later. We had imagined the perfect date night, and we were directed to the river of life. Maybe when you imagine that moment or that experience of being fully alive, it is an adventure like I shared, or it's a moment set apart in time, or a worship service, maybe even the face of a special person. But maybe too, you just don't have the capacity today to imagine what it means to be fully alive. Because as you look around at your life and you look around at where the world is today, all you can see is the pain points of the present. The empty room at your dining room table, or the empty chair at your dining room table, the line of an answered text from someone with whom you're not reconciled, the report from the doctor, the images of rivers dried up in our world, the scenes of violence from Ukraine, the haunting images that still are scarred in our memory just down the street at Covenant Day School. And if you're someone today who struggles to imagine what it means to be fully alive, I want you to hear this clearly. You're in a very privileged place because you're in the company of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the prophet of exile who ministers within and amongst drought and despair and death. Pastor Carol has led us, as I mentioned, through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and we are reminded that in this season of exile, all that constituted life in Israel was destroyed. The creative class and the leaders of Jerusalem were deported by the Babylonians to Babylon. The temple was destroyed. The wall was destroyed. Families were uprooted and separated. And the question that Ezekiel shares with us that all the people were asking him in chapter 33, he says, the most persistent question people ask me is this. How do we live? How do we live without the temple? How do we live without our leadership? How do we live without the family that constitutes our faith? How do we live in a season that feels so without God? And 25 years into his ministry with the exiles, God gifts Ezekiel with this vision that Savannah read. And for 7 chapters from Ezekiel 40 to 47, he shares this vision of a gloriously restored temple of Jerusalem. He goes through all the details. I'm sure if you've been reading through the Bible, you know that. All the various nooks and crannies, the details and dimensions of those rooms are described in this vision that God gifts Ezekiel. And then at the very end, he notices a trickle, a tiny trickle that grows in force and current and life. Such that even when it goes into the most parched and dead and barren places, it brings forth bursting trees of life whose fruit bring about healing and renewal. A river that is so full of life that even when it enters into the Dead Sea, its waters become fresh and are teeming with fish such that fishermen flock to cast their nets. Friends, the beauty of how the church has directed our hope and guided our reading is in this invitation to see Ezekiel's vision activated in the promise that Jesus makes of what our life will be filled with when we receive the Holy Spirit. That moment in John's gospel when Jesus is preaching in Jerusalem at the Festival of Booths and he says, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and all who believe in me drink. For as the scriptures say, out of the believer's heart will flow rivers of living water." This river of life trickling not just from a place, but from the promise and presence of a person, Jesus, and from our shared life together for all who find life and our thirst quenched in him. God's goodness and mercy and life overflowing from the details of our own lives and our own drama and our own stories, and a promise of renewal for all who are thirsty and all who are empty and all who cannot imagine what it means to be fully alive right now. That is the prophet's call, and that is the promise Jesus offers us in our life in the Holy Spirit, a conversion of our imagination such that we can see life in all people, in all places, in every imaginable situation. I realize that that word conversion is loaded, and it's potentially triggering for some of us. Because you see, us religious folk sort of have this like hankering to take the most beautiful things of God and to shrink them down to a size that we can control and use to control others. But we shouldn't forfeit this word conversion, because it is essential to our life together as Wesleyans, as Methodists. Because as John Wesley described his vision of spiritual formation, this work that you have trusted me to steward as your pastor of spiritual formation, John Wesley's vision of spiritual formation is pretty simple. He says, spiritual formation is about a constant conversion until we are perfected in love of God and love of neighbor. Put another way, absent the churchy language, we've all got some growing up to do in Jesus Christ, all of us. Doesn't matter how long you've been following Christ. It doesn't matter how deeply you know the Bible. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. It doesn't matter if you're in a season of abundant life where you can so tangibly taste God's goodness, or if you're in a season of feeling parched and empty. God's Spirit is flowing among and through all of us, leading us to grow up into Christ. And the Spirit of God has the power to transform our despair into hope, our isolation into beloved community, our apathy into selfless love, if we do not block its flow. And friends, the joy of this constant conversion, I know that can sound scary, the joy of this constant conversion is that the fruitfulness it leads to is that of wholeness and healing. It only leads us deeper into life that is life. It's an invitation to a more integrated self and a deeper rest in our belovedness. It cuts under our culture's tendency to tell you you need to perform and produce and project an image of having it all together. It leads us to transform our daily grind into a daily grace through practices of paying attention to the way God is already at work, so that our work and the tedium of our days is resting in the thriving of God's Spirit. It leads us to people we never thought we would be associated with, nor the social algorithms of our day lead us to be connected alongside. And it leads us to see not only the desperate needs of our neighbors, but also y'all, our desperate need for them. And it's the grounding of this undaunted courage to face some of the most challenging social issues of our day. Home insecurity, gun reform, the mental health crisis, these issues that seem so large and challenging and impenetrable. It's the source of our undaunted courage to keep showing up, to keep advocating, to keep protesting, to keep building to community, and trust that God's river of justice is able to cut canyons through mountains of impenetrable stone. A constant conversion of our imagination until we see connection and beauty in life and meaning in all people, in all places, in every imaginable situation, until all of creation is raised up into life in Christ. That is the work of a lifetime we call spiritual formation. And all that is needed of you is an openness to go as God directs. All that is needed from you is a willingness to go where the Spirit's flow. For truly, the gospel is this: wherever the river flows, everything will live. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Claiming the promise of that font of life, will you please join me in reciting the affirmation of faith? Stand or rise in body and or spirit. Our affirmation of faith is found on 883 or in our bulletin. Please join me. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary this morning, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you, and you can place those filled out cards in the offering plate as they are passed. This morning, we mourn with the Heron family. Former Weston minister, Reverend Nancy Carol Miller Heron, and her family are mourning the death of her husband, Roy Heron, who passed away on July 9th. A memorial service was held in Martin, Tennessee on Saturday, July 15th. Another celebration to tell Roy stories is being planned tentatively for 1410 Rosa L. Parks in Nashville, Tennessee on September 30th, which would have been Roy's 70th birthday. Roy is also survived by West End member, his nephew, Richard Heron. This morning, our prayer involves a little congregational response. We're going to pause for a few seconds, and I'll give you some time silently to pray for what I've just named. And then I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and then your response is, hear our prayer. So, Lord, in your mercy, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Font of life, you have promised us a disillusioned people that everything will live. When our hearts and minds are in difficult and even empty spaces, you've promised us a life abundant. This morning, we come to worship grateful for that promise, thirsty for the waters of eternal life. We thank you for the abundance of summer, the time spent on vacation or days off with loved ones. We praise you for the sacred space of car trips, planes, youth trips, tubing, and for the joys of little ones squealing with happiness and play. Even in those sacred spaces, God, we are aware of the deep hurts and needs of our community. And in the coming moments, we lift those needs up to you, silently from our hearts into your care. For those who look around and see nothing but wasteland and destruction because of depression or other mental illness, those who cannot see the life abundant, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the sick and those who care for them in home, nursing homes, hospitals, and hospices, Lord, in your mercy, for those who are grieving the death of a loved one, Lord, in your mercy, for our leaders, that they may have the constant conversion of imagination to see and give shape to something better for our community, state, nation, and world. Lord, in your mercy, for our neighbors who live without shelter and those who are but one paycheck away from being evicted, Lord, in your mercy, for victims of injustice anywhere, Lord, in your mercy, for our church, that we may hear your call to us to be a source of life for others. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in all of these things, we know you envision flourishing where there was a dry valley of bones. Reinvigorate our imaginations, call us to hope, and lead always into a future with joy. May we always be so bold to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
Might you go forth into this wounded and weary world in the flow of God's Spirit to bring healing and wholeness, renewal and life to all people and all places in every imaginable situation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen.